CFYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey Loyalty Program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com for all your vintage toy needs. You can also find Mega Toy Fan at popular robot and toy conventions year-round. Minimize your costs and maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com.
In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars,
Perceptia here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom.
Now, where did I put that chorus stop?
Ratchet, if you take the chorus stop.
Transformers! Defenders of truth. Robots who fight in disguise.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, episode number 191, recorded March 4th, 2016. I'm your host, Duron Land. Along with me this evening is Rick Alvarez.
Hi!
Jim Black.
That's a big Twinkie.
Yes. And quit talking about Don's head. And Headmaster Don.
Hey, everybody.
Tonight we have a special guest, a very, very special guest, Marcelo Moteri. Am I pronouncing that correct?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's fine.
he is a artist that has worked on the Transformer brand for several years, contributed much to the brand. Go ahead and introduce yourself and tell the fans a little bit about yourself and how you got started.
Okay, hello guys. Thanks for having me for the show. I'm a huge Transformers fan, so it's good to be in a place with another Transformers fans. And I've been doing Transformers for almost 15 years. Like, I started working with Armada, and then been doing stuff since then. Like, mostly package art. I do most of for package art for the toys. But I eventually started working with the concepts for the toys. So I started with the concepts on the Cybertron line. And then since then, I've been doing a lot of stuff, mostly I've been doing some presentations, drawings also. Like, I did the drawing that they did the pitch for the movie. So in 2004 or 5, I can't remember.
Wow.
Yeah. I remember that when Aaron Archer, he asked me there, try to pitch the movies. So he asked me to draw an Optimus and Megatron fighting.
Yeah, so Marcelo's been all over the board. He's done toy design. He's done packaging art. He's done conceptual designs for toys.
For video games.
He's done comic covers, the inside of comics. He's got a ton of awesome prints. What else am I missing? Oh, he's anyone here like Creo?
Yeah.
He's done a lot of Creo art.
Yeah, yeah. I did some of the
first.
Yeah, I did the concepts for the first. I think the first wave is they had the concepts for the toys. For the first or second wave, yeah. Mm-hmm. I did the battle. What was the name of the 2011 the battle?
Oh,
the Robot Heroes.
I did the Robot Heroes. I did almost the entire line.
They're the ones that crashed together. That's what it is. The battle.
Yeah, they crashed. Yeah, battle. I can't remember the name. That was. I did some stuff for Prime, but I've been to a lot of things. Like,
yeah, yeah. Marcelo's also was one of the, was one, and I think probably still is one of the go to guys at Hasbro for doing on conceptual work. So when I was at Hasbro, I used Marcelo to create some art for a video game I pitched. Yeah. For we did some work together on the Pirates presentation, including mm-hmm. Thundertron, which was part yeah. of Transformers Prime. And,
yeah, they're
the he's also a guy who does art for like the behind the scenes stuff that, that's used to kind of pitch an idea to the larger team.
Yeah.
I love Thundertron.
Yeah, I did the early concepts for the Pirates, really early. They sometimes I do this the first step presentation for the team to they figure out how the line would be or what they can do, like for the look and for even for the play pattern for the what the feature they try to input on those toys. So it's really fun work, like because. It's not only package, because package, I usually do the same thing for like 100 toys. So I need to do like sometimes the same pose or sometimes the same like paint swatch work. And then it's cool when they try to move for this kind of presentation boards that they give me freedom to play with some things. It's cool because I not work only with Transformers. I've been doing stuff for Star Wars now, for Marvel. And then I did the concepts for the Transformers crossovers in the Marvel ones, like for Wolverine, Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. I did the concepts for all the deadline Star Wars Transformers as well. I did the
and you've done some pony stuff too, right?
Comics, yeah.
Some My Little Pony like, stuff, yeah.
I did for Dreamwave the last issue that Transformers Energy on 30. That was the last one. And, never got paid for that in 2004.
Which is the same because I enjoyed the Armada and Energon comic much more than I ever enjoyed any of the TV series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they were two different universes. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was part of the Dreamwave era for anyone. This was pre-IDW.
Yeah.
Yeah, really. Yeah, they tried to do that continuation, a totally different continuation, right? Try to follow more the G1 course. Even for, it was fun to work for Dreamwave, but like, it was and it was not. Sometimes they asked me to copy Pat Lee style, so it was not that fun. So, but that was cool. Like, when I moved to IDW, it was really cool because they give me totally freedom to put my style and develop it. And then I started to work with Megatron Oranges, and then I moved to Soundwave, Spotlight Soundwave.
Did you do how much of those did you do?
For IDW?
Yeah.
For IDW, I did Spotlight Soundwave, Grimlock, and Metroplex. And then I
think I've got the Spotlight Metroplex around here somewhere.
Yeah. It's a double page. All the comics are a double page. It was cool because at that time they asked me, Marcel, we have two projects for you. You can choose. We have Metroplex and Cliff Jumper. Which one do you want to do? Yeah.
And when they said Cliff Jumper, but that's my personal bias.
Yeah, but when they showed me the Metroplex script with a lot of like Six Shot and Turtlebots, I said, okay, I need to draw those guys. And all the double pages, the entire comics were double pages, so I think it was really fun to draw, like something different, like entire comic only with the spread page and double page. Yeah. Now, because Metroplex was huge. It was a challenge at that time, so it was really fun.
Now, how long does it normally take you to draw, like, say, a page, a full page?
It depends on how many characters we have on the page. Like if you have a lot of robots, sometimes a day and a half. I was supposed to finish a page a day, but like I'm not so fast, so I like to add a lot of detail. So it's usually a day and a half, and if a lot of complicated 2 days. But I usually try to work with like one page and a half per day. That was they ideally I had to do one page per day, like for any comics. Like if you do, like I heard that some guys can do two pages. I don't know how, but some guys they can do that.
I haven't drawn in years, but back whenever I was in college and everything, I did like pen and inks, where I'd stipple a lot, and it would literally take me weeks just to do one drawing. And I see people sit down, they just sketch something out, and then and it looks amazing, and they do it in like a couple of hours. I mean, especially Matt Frank at TF Expo last year, he was doing commissions, and he in one day I think he did like 10 commissions, and I'm like, how do you do this? You know, it's just amazing.
Yeah, when you use it to do that, like when you start work with drawing and daily, like you start to get, especially for the conventions when you need to draw a lot of like a lot of things and they're like in 8 hours, 10 hours, you try to find some how can I say, not
like you use the quick way of
you can find out the quick way to do some things that sometimes you take more time when you do a more polished drawing for that will be printed instead of a sketch. That some people like the sketch look, so you can do things faster. Like,
well, I'm sure it also helps, like if you're just doing the character only on a blank page as opposed to the character and the background and multiple characters and things like that.
So yeah, exactly. And you need to, because one thing with comics, I'm going to start drawing. Okay, here. Okay.
Okay.
It's okay. So fellow Mac user. Yes.
We're going to, for those of you who are just listening, we encourage you to watch the show because we're going to screen share what Marcelo's doing. So he's going to, I talked to him a little earlier about what he should draw tonight, and I haven't told any of the guys here. So
Marcelo's
gonna draw. Yeah, it's going to be a surprise.
Okay.
Marcelo's going to draw something, and then anyone who's listening, we encourage you to go check out the actual video of this, because while we're interviewing him, he's going to be drawing a character for us.
Yay, picture pages.
Picture pages, picture pages. Everyone loves. Now we just need some Jell-O pudding pops. But go ahead.
So one of the things I've always liked about Marcelo is that he has a very diverse style. He's one of the few guys that, and this is not a negative against any artist out there. This is in no way meant a negative. Some artists, you know, like you could tell it's Jim Lee. You can tell it's an Alex Ross. You can tell, hey, it's Casey Collar doing that. With Marcelo, he's able to transcend so many different styles that you might see something and you say, oh, I didn't know this was something that Marcelo drew. He's able to pick up on a lot of other people's styles and replicate them.
Absolutely.
And that's an amazing talent that not a whole lot of people have out there.
Yeah, heck, just compare like Armada Swindle to, I don't know, Crossover's Captain America to Creo, pretty much any Creon. I mean, they're just so different.
Yeah, like, it's good because, like, it's fun. There was a year that I had to draw package for Transformers movie and package for Transformers animated. So it was the opposite, you know, like for a lot of details for... because when you draw, it's funny that because when you draw, like it's easy to hide some parts that are not quite correctly on the drawing when you put a lot of detail. So you can mask some a little mistakes or things that are not correct, like perspective or things like that. Mm-hmm. With Transformers Animated, I had to explore mostly the shapes or the characters and silhouettes, things that are really complicated when you're not used to that kind of language and that kind of style, because it's totally different style. We had to match that style to, especially for the package, because they were using the model sheets for the cartoon. So it was that's one thing that I like to do, to switch styles, like to refresh when I when I start to do a really detailed drawing or illustration, especially for packs, you want to have a, like the movie ones that were really tough to do. Like, I don't know, do you know Priscilla? Priscilla that does the comics, Priscilla Tramontano?
I think I'm familiar with her.
Yeah, she's doing now, she's colors for, she's added W colors. She does color for a lot of stuff. She did the miniseries for the Robots in Disguise. She worked with me. She was kind of my intern, so she helped me with the colors when I did the package art for the movie. So we had to do a lot of stuff, especially for Generation 2, because I got the movie. It was 2011, so I got not Revenge of the Fallen. What is the next line?
Dark of the Moon. Yeah.
No, between Dark of the Moon and Revenge of the Fallen, it was I think it was Reveal the Shield or
yes. Oh yes, Reveal the Shield. Yeah.
Yeah, or Hunt for Decepticons, they revealed the Shield. It was something like. And then we had some movies product, and yeah, then I had to do like the movie aesthetic as close as possible, but it was really hard.
Let's just go down the list of different lines that you've done packaging art for. Armada, Energy, Cybertron. There's the Universe line, which Universe. Was basically a bunch of repaints. One of my favorite, King Atlas, in that line. Beast Wars, the 10th anniversary line.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
You've done a ton of alternators.
Alternators.
There's a whole bunch of them. And I got to say, I actually own the, was it Energon? The...
Battle Ravage?
No, I can't think of his name now. He's the Shockwave guy.
Shock Blast.
Shock Blast. Yes. Yeah. Yes, I have that framed.
You have it?
Yes, that was given to me as a very special gift by You Know Who.
Ah, yeah, no. I remember that. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. I remember.
Let's see, Star Wars Transformers.
Yeah.
One thing I have to say is I'm probably the only person here that, hey, I read his listing on the wiki of all those figures. I have all those Star Wars Transformer figures.
Oh yeah.
So I have all of those figures. They're in a box right now. I haven't got them on display, but I think I've bought probably nearly every Star Wars figure. And one of my favorite figure sets of all time, sir, is the Han Solo and Chewbacca Millennium Falcon. Yeah, that's one of my favorites.
Yeah, that was my favorite to draw also. Like when they said, okay, you need to draw Han Solo and Chewbacca, but you need to put the classic poses on them. So it was like, oh, yeah, finally. That's cool. It was 2006. Yeah. It's funny because I usually have to work on these lines together. So I was working with Cybertron at that time. And I did like the... I remember when I was doing that package, I had to do also the package for the Cybertron Primus, the planet, the big planet.
Now that was an impressive box. But two of my favorite boxes you've done is Omega Supreme and Omega Sentinel.
Yeah,
I did Energon. That box.
Yeah.
Because those boxes just look great.
Yeah, that was my favorite. Like Energon, I really like to do Energon. It was like my first official line that I worked, because with Armada I started with the minicons, because I was kind of helping Dreamwave because they were delaying the drawings. They did the main characters, but for the partners they are not sending them in time. So that's how Hasbro found me.
Like it says here in the wiki, Armada Swindle, the minicon was your first work.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, that was a test that Archer sent me to do. And then they said, oh, Marcelo, that's perfect. That's what I want. So they wanted to do more. Then I said, sure, of course.
And they just kept getting more and more and more.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, so So just keep going down the line. I mean, we have Generations, Animated, Revenge of the Fallen, Hunt for the Decepticon.
Marvel crossovers.
The Marvel crossovers. What do you think was your favorite line to do the packaging art for out of all those?
The favorite, I like a lot the universe, because I always wanted to do that kind of painting style. It was a kind of... It will remember that the early years for Dreamwave, when some covers they use that kind of paint, more painting, not cel shading like the cartoon. My painting more artistic style, so that one was one of my favorite. But one that I really like is Marvel Transformers, because that's the line that I start work with the concepts and I finish the work with the package art. I did basically the whole process in the line. So I did the concepts and then the package. So, like, that's one of my favorites also. Also because of the work. Because I did the concepts for Wolverine and Spider-Man, and they did those toys.
So what do you think was the most challenging line out of all those? I mean, I know you talked about, you know, switching back and forth between having to do different styles at the same time. But what line do you think was the hardest to do overall?
The hardest, it was the movie one. Yeah, Transformers the movie. Mostly because of the details and because I had to find... I don't know if you... But for all those packages, because we start work, they usually do a pitch with a lot of artists. We actually don't know until they choose us. So... they start, okay, Marcelo, we need that you do an illustration for this, and it has to look like the movie, but with more artistic look. So, okay, what should I have to do now? Then I tried to find some ways to illustrate that, and then I was fortunate enough at that time because they liked my drawings. And it was hard to replicate that kind of style for, like, 50 illustrations and 60 illustrations. And at the same time, I was doing concepts for toys and comics sometimes, covers for comics. So that was one of the hardest ones. I think Animated, the first one, I thought it was supposed to be easy, but then I figured out it was a little bit more complicated to get this style. But I really liked the Animated also. Actually, Animated, it's my favorite cartoon after G1 for Transformers. I have a special care for that show.
You know, that leads to a question I have, and I'm sure a lot of fans are wondering, who exactly is your favorite Transformer of all time?
It's hard to say that. I think
Creo Comptron. Come on, Creo Comptron.
Well, are you asking who's your favorite character or who's your favorite one to draw?
A favorite character. Grimlock?
Grimlock. I like the Dinobots. But I like the Japanese also. I like Lyle Kaiser. I really like that one. Like, I like, it's one of the coolest combiners that I have seen. Like, the character is really cool. Piranacon, I think it's cool. I like mostly. I like a lot of the Japanese ones. Like
now, did you do the Piranacon for the Piranacon reissue? Did you?
Yeah,
do that?
I did. Yeah.
That is gorgeous, by the way.
Oh, thanks. It was a fun, like, at the BotCon in Pasadena. I think the Takara designer was there that created that toy at that time. He went to the show. He didn't tell that at that time. He only asked me to do a sketch for the Piranacon. He bought a print that I had. And then after I did the sketch and gave it to him, he told me, oh, I did a concept for the toys in back 80s. Then I said, what? It was you? Yeah, it's me. Yeah, it's me. And then, it was like just crazy. Because, oh, you're kidding. No, I did this toy and I did the model. I did the model for Takara told me, and then I asked, are you still working there? No, Today I do only models. I only do get not when you color toys. How do you say in English? Like
prototypes.
Yeah, yeah, kind of prototypes. Yeah, I work with prototypes. Yeah, you color prototypes.
Now, who is your favorite one to draw? Favorite character to draw?
To draw? Is it the animated characters? I like to draw them.
Like, any particular one?
The Dinobots also. I like because they're really different between them, like Grimlock, Winded, and the animated I like it because I can play with the expression a little bit more. But I have a lot of things that I like to draw, but animated I have a special care. Like I like.
You know, that's one of the things I always appreciated about animated is that, you know, like in Generation 1, the cartoon and the toys oftentimes were very different. You know, I mean, you could tell you could tell Optimus Prime was Optimus Prime, but he looked very different in toy form and on his package than he did in the cartoon. However, with animated, it was very uniform across the board. The toys looked like the cartoon, looked like the package art, looked like they did in the comic book, looked like they did. I mean, they were all the same, and that was really, really nice.
Yeah, they really care about that. Like I remember when I saw Eric Sebenaler when I went to Hasbro once, and he was doing the concept sketch. For Blitzwing, and he was doing the transformation sequence to send to Takara to show them how they should do the toys or what parts would transform. So it was like it was fun the way that it was great to see that control that kind of thought that they wanted to do with this line, like to do everything looks exactly like the cartoon with the toys and vice versa, and then. That's what I like this.
Now, before we go on, I want to take a quick moment to break away while we're watching you here draw this character. Mm-hmm. It's looking pretty awesome so far. Everyone that's listening on the audio version, if you ever get a chance, check out the YouTube video. We're on the TFYLP YouTube channel. And look for this episode to watch his fantastic artwork in motion here. But also want to take a moment to break away and mention our sponsors, CapturePrey.com, great toys, great prices, great service. CapturePrey.com, where you can save even more on orders of $150 or more. And also with the Capture Prey loyalty program. Also check out Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection while minimizing your cost with MegaToyFan.com. You can find them on Facebook and also at the biggest toy conventions year-round, such as BotCon coming up. So check them out.
BotCon is coming up in right at just about a month, right?
About a month from this week, actually.
So, Marcelo, you often make trips to BotCon. Comic-Con. Are you going to go to BotCon this year?
Yeah, I'm going to BotCon. I did the package for most of the exclusives for this year.
And then, oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. I did for them all. I did for the Combiner.
Let's not get into any hot water because I don't think all of them are revealed yet. So just be a little careful with what you reveal, Marcelo. I don't want to get into
it. Yeah, I'm not going to say the names because actually I can't remember the names. Sorry about that. So many characters, but I did the Combiner one. The
Predacus?
Predacus. Yeah.
Exactly, Predacus. Sorry, because... they showed the package, right? They showed the box.
Yes, they have. And that looks amazing, by the way.
Yeah. I did the pencils and then Josh Perez did the colors For Combiner Wars, I'm doing mostly the pencil artwork, not the color. They're doing the same process the Transformers Legends game was doing, you know, with those illustrations. Like, so they hired us to do pencils, and another studio does the colors.
Well, one thing I wanted to ask, sir, is you've done all this work with Transformers. If you were given the chance, would you want to, say, work for Marvel or DC on a superhero comic? I mean, are there superheroes you would like to do? Or do you feel more comfortable doing the robot characters and leave the human characters to, you know, or at least leave that part of the comic universe to somebody else?
Mm-hmm. I think no. I've already thought a lot about that because I've been with robots for 15 years or so. So I started doing work with characters, human characters. I started drawing X-Men, Spawn. So I always liked robots. So I really want to try to do more human characters. So yes, I definitely would love to work with Marvel at some point. Yeah. So that's one thing that I sometimes try to do at Hasbro, like, when they have some toys for Marvel, I try to get some work. So sometimes I do some stuff for them.
Well, I keep hoping IDW will somehow get the rights to the Neo Knights, and then maybe if so, you'll be able to draw both humans and robots in this book.
I hope so. I would like to draw a cover for Rome, the new one that they... Rome, how do you say it? Rome, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
And then... maybe the
Micronauts.
Yeah, I bet your Rom would be really interesting looking because he's a human, but he's got all that armor, so that would be a real interesting take on the character.
Yeah, I do. I think I'm gonna try to do and maybe try to pitch with IDW, figure out what hot the girls like. I like to draw another. Other kind of stuff, but like it's good to leave the comfort zone. You know what I mean? Like for artistically saying, mm-hmm. I'd like to do more human stuff.
What have been your influences?
Mostly, I have a lot of influences. Like I have the first one where the cartoon, the 80s cartoon, but mostly the 90s. Comics like Jim Lee, Greg Capullo, those guys. Like, I really, when I first start drawing, I really try to emulate the style. So when I rediscovered Transformers, I try to search more for the Japanese influence. So I try to looking for all the Japanese books that I could find. So the mangas, then all the 80s stuff. Like I bought a lot of those Japanese comics. What is the name? I remember in English.
Manga.
Yeah, not manga. That comic, they have some Studio Ox drawing in them. Like Terebi magazine. That's yeah. Right. It was. I think I have here one. Like. So I start to work with Hasbro, I tried to find more this kind of reference, and then this one's Terribly magazine.
Oh
yeah, okay. I bought a lot of this comics from Tony Preto.
Oh yeah.
yeah
I basically bought the entire collection from him, so I like this kind of.
Ooh, I like it. Yeah.
So this is a big influence for me. Like when I started working with Hasbro, I tried to emulate and try to find references here that I could use in my work, especially the energy they use in. Oh, here the rockets. Like I love those mangas. So.
Oh yeah.
Nice.
So this is a big influence for me as well. So it's funny because like I've been using a lot of influence through the time. Like when I sell something cool, I try to incorporate on the work that I'm doing on the I do most of this kind of experiments on my comics. Like when I remember when I was doing, I think Transformers Spotlight Grimlock, I tried to do the entire comic only with pencils instead of inking. So I used the pencils to give more the pencil look, and then yeah, it was a try. The color was okay. I thought it was, I wish it was better. Like, but that's fine. But my influences basically are mostly started with the 90s comics, like the Image and Marvel, and then like when I say something cool nowadays, I try to incorporate like Joe Madureira. I like some stuff for Japanese artists, like the Akira artists. I missed the name there. Yeah, that's it. That, like.
Now, this is the anniversary of Beast Wars and everything. So let's ask some Beast related questions. Do you like drawing the Beast characters, or who's your favorite to draw?
Yes, I do. It's funny because I actually did design for the Dinobot for Universe in 2007. Yeah, 80, I think. And my favorite, I like to draw the Dinobot. The Dinobot's really cool. Waspinator, I like to draw also. Waspinator. Mostly because they animated. Then I come back and I think the Beast Wars, I like a lot the Transmetals because I think I like more robot look than the Beast, the organic look. Yeah. I always like more the mechanical part, so more square, like, I think the Transmetals are my favorites. Like Beast Machines, I don't like that much. I like more the stories, but from the Beast, I did the concept for the Optimus Primal for the Cybertron, the 10th anniversary one.
Oh, the deluxe?
Right, yeah, the Cyberpunk.
Yeah, I did the Optimus and Megatron concepts at that time. Yeah.
I always found it funny that Megatron, the Cyberplanet Key, the placement.
I only did the concept. I didn't know they put that thing there. So I had no idea.
It's like, so you take this key and you place it.
That was not my fault.
Well, he was always a pain in the.
Yeah.
Marcelo, what do you think, out of all the toys that you've had a hand in working on over the years, what do you think has been your favorite one, and which one do you think you'd want to go back and maybe do something different with?
I think for maybe Optimus Primal, this one that I did for the 10th anniversary. I think that was the first one that I started working in the. I'd like to explore more this the Beast Mode style, maybe play a little bit more, because we don't do a lot of the transformations. We only suggest the transformation. Then Takara had to figure out how it does will look like, because the costs and something like that. Like they try to match they try to match what we suggest, but I think there are a lot of things that can impact on the final toy. So I think Optimus I'd like to rework. And some of the Marvel. No, sorry. I start to work on the concept for Darth Vader and Anakin Transformers toy. I did the early version, but they asked someone else to finish. I do like to work more on that one because at that time I had a familiar problem, so I couldn't finish properly the way that I wanted. I had to stop working that, and then like I couldn't ship in time. So that one I do like to give it a new new try.
Now, kind of a modification of that question. Having drawn art before and everything, and then you finish it and you you give it to whoever you give it to, or you know, you, or in your case, turn it in to Hasbro and everything, and it gets published. Now, this is an honest question. I mean, how many times? I mean, what is there any particular thing that you that you've drawn, and then you you were happy with it and everything, and then it gets published, and then you see the final, you know, see it on the package or see see it on the poster in the book, and you're like, oh my gosh, I forgot to draw that.
I do that a lot, especially. Yeah, it depends on, like, I do that a lot. Like, it depends on how I did that drawing, how the situation that I did that drawing. Like, if I had a rush job, like, I'd like to have more time to work more on a specific part or to develop more. Because, you don't know, but a lot of those packages are, some of them are last minute stuff. Like, I had to do it in 1 week or less, and then, okay, Marcelo, we need to do some quickly presentation next week, and then okay, and then when I figure out, they put in the package that thing. Oh, wow! I thought I was supposed to be on to a presentation, not to be the final product. So, yeah. So sometimes I do like to work more in some parts and add more details, because I know how Transformers fans like the details, because I'm a fan. So that's one thing that I like to input on my drawings. I like to input my fan view. Or that thing, like, I don't know if you guys ever take a look, but on the first toys that I developed for the movie, I did a Bumblebee Stomper, Cyber Stomper Bumblebee, that big one for the kids. Mm-hmm. My first sketch, I did the Bumblebee body for the movie, but the head, I did it totally G1. I did the G1 look. So I say, okay, let's see what happened. So I remember the designers like it, but then I probably mark it as, okay, we need to put the G1, we need to put the movie look, because it doesn't look like the movie character. But every time that I can, I try to put some more of the G1 look or some tip, some kind of characters for the G1. For example, when I do the kids books, I did a lot of kids books for the movies, like for how to read it was a small text, and then I did for the first three movies, and then the first one that I did, all the eyes for the robots, I did like the G1. The G1, exactly like the G1, because that's one, the kind of homage that I like to give for the to do for it. So that's one thing that I like to put a lot of this fun base stuff. Like when I do the comics, it's fun because I just like to put some Marvel characters. There was, I think it was the Transformers, Megatron Oranges that I did for IDW. I put a lot of Easter eggs characters there from the Marvel, like the some of the guys that they die on the second issue, like Scourge or the Scourge, like the Blaster partner.
Crouch.
Scrounge, yes.
Oh.
In Brazil, they translated with Scourge. I don't know why. they change the names here a lot. So sorry.
Well, one thing I wanted to ask, sir, is there any character that if you never drew again, you would be happy?
Just say RC. Just say RC.
The movie RC. The movie RC.
Okay, respect that. I can respect that.
No one's ever happy drawing movie RC.
Yeah, movie RC, because movie RC. Actually, some of the movie characters. There were some. Oh, the Devastator from the movie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that would have to be hurt your hand after a while.
Because those characters were not made to be drawn. They're made to be. done in CGI because it's possible to draw those guys.
It's kind of like movie Megatron, the first movie Megatron. It's like, what can I use as a base to draw this? Oh, let's go get a box of knives and forks and everything, dump it out on the floor, and then just sketch that.
The treads.
Yeah.
I would have started with a ball of tinfoil.
Yeah.
Kind of wadded up, you know.
What of
Skids and Mudflap?
Yeah, I don't like that one. Also, yeah, that one. It was potential those guys, but I didn't like them in the movie. And the first time that I saw them, I think it was cool.
Mm-hmm.
But when I saw the movie, I thought, no, that's not that much. Like. It's like the movie.
No, we understand. We saw that movie and went, "Wow, Skids and Mudflap! I got to get me some of that tattooed on me."
I don't know. I think those two probably would have been a little bit better had they retained the third member of that team instead of just dropping it, because that, originally it was supposed to be I guess a combiner.
No, that was RC.
Yeah, there
was Skids and Mudflap, and then there was a smart car.
Oh yeah.
In with that, the smart car was said to have like a pinhead, like a small head, on it.
But, oh really?
Yeah, that's why Skids had a large right hand, and Mudflap had a large left hand.
Oh. Oh
really,
well, that,
liking this.
That's the first time I heard that, but that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Plus, it would have been a smart car, and I love smart cars anyway.
So now that you've worked on the sketch a little bit, Duran, what do you think?
I'm really digging this sketch.
Yeah. Now the magic has begun. I'm gonna color this one for you.
I wouldn't know who that's supposed to be.
I've been trying to figure that out myself. It's
a bit weird.
Yeah, it's weird. It's not weird.
Kind of has
it kind of looks. I want to say highbrow, but
no.
No.
Look at the shoulder pylons. Look at the.
Okay. Well, I thought that was just guidelines he was using to sketch the. Okay.
I have a different reference here, so I apologize if it's not okay. Looking like right. You're hoping because there's difference, a lot of difference.
It's flipping my trigger, put it that way. Jim, do you have any questions for Marcelo?
Were there any characters that were not in Creo that you wish were?
Creo? Let's see. Oh, there are a lot of there.
Like Omega Supreme or something like that. You know.
Yeah, Omega Supreme, like, what I can say. The Japanese combiner, Leo Kaiser. There was Leo Kaiser there? No.
Oh, that would have been fun.
Star Saber.
I don't know if you can talk about this or not, but was there any work you had done for Creo a while ago that unfortunately never saw the light of day?
Oh yeah.
Was there anything that you drew for Creo that never came out?
I think some of the concepts that I did for the heads, they didn't use it. I don't know why. Like, I did a lot of for the movies.
Mm-hmm.
And then for Transformers Prime, I did a few. Like, I did basically all the first waves, the first, second waves. I did a lot of heads. I did mostly heads, not the bodies, mostly heads. They asked me to do these sculpts. Like for Sentinel Prime, I don't know if they did Sentinel Prime. I can't remember.
Yeah.
At that time. But it wasn't the same head, right? It was a different head. It was the blue one.
It was more of the animated head that Sentinel Prime ended up with.
Yeah, so that's the one that I did. Yeah, I did that one. I think for the Creo, they because they reuse a lot of the heads to do, so I did a few of them that I can't remember if they did not. I did a shark head. I thought it was supposed to be for some shark cones. I didn't know if they use it. It was a shark shape head. They asked me to do the concept.
Maybe Skybite?
Yeah.
Or I think he's thinking some of the Maybe the current RID guys.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't remember because that's the one thing, because they usually don't give us the real name of the product until they release it. Yeah. So it's like they sometimes, okay, it's Sentinel Prime, though. Oh, no, it's not Sentinel anymore. It's like Ultra Magnus. So they sometimes add. But for Creel, I stopped doing stuff for them. I remember that I did Devastator for them. I did all the heads for all the characters plus Devastator. I can't remember if I did it. I think I didn't for Broticus. I think Broticus. I didn't work then. I can't remember. Sorry.
When did you stop doing the artwork for Creo? About how long ago?
It was 2011, 11, 12.
Okay.
So I started work on the. I remember I started work on the 2010 until 2012. Yeah.
Okay.
And then I came back to do the package. I did the package for the San Diego Comic Con, the exclusive for the last year. Yeah.
Oh, the class of 84 and the class of 85.
Yeah. I did the package for the. Yeah. Right. What else? For Creel, yeah, I did mostly that for Creel. I did a few concepts for a new line for the Creel. It was not Transformers. It was maybe I'm not so familiar with the other Creels.
Oh, there's Star Trek, Battleship, Dungeons & Dragons, Cityville Invasion, G.I. Joe.
And not, I think it's probably Dungeons and Dragons. I did a few stuff, but it was really early concepts. Like Marcel, I need some wizards.
Yeah.
Wizards, like you can do a few for us. I didn't develop that much. For Creel, that's what I did. I did mostly the first wave for the heads, the head concept, and then the package.
Now, you've been a fan since the beginning, correct?
Yeah.
I guess it's safe to assume you buy the toys on a regular basis too, or?
Actually, we here in Brazil we didn't have the main guys. We, for some reason, like for marketing reasons, I don't know how things worked at that time. We had only the Minibots. So we had here only Bumblebee, Cliffjumper, and then we had a lot of variations for those toys through the years into the 80s. So they did a lot of different colors. We had only those mods. So when I was a kid, I had only those Minibots, and then I grew up and I actually didn't collect then. Then I found we didn't have. I didn't collect a lot of toys when I didn't have money to buy the toys because those toys are expensive here in Brazil, like because the exchange. So I stopped buying Transformers toys in the 90s because we didn't have here. And then I remember that I started to collect again in 2000, I think, or 2001. It was Robots in Disguise, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Great line to start back with, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Then that time, I remember my brother, he made a trip to U.S. because I live in São Paulo in Brazil, so it was expensive, those trips. So at that time, we barely could leave the country. And my brother went to New York for 2 days' work, and then he said, okay, Marcel, I'm here in New York. What do you want? Then I said, I want any Transformer you can find there. Go to any Toys R Us and like try to find those Transformers. And then he bought.
You know, go ahead.
I think at that time he bought a Scourge for Reed and the Optimus Prime. And Ultra Magnus. He bought three for me. He bought Ultra Magnus, Optimus Prime, and a Scourge.
Yeah, every time Marcelo comes to the U.S., he always ends up leaving with He's like, mail me this box, mail me this box, mail me this box. And he's just, he just, anything that he's worked on, he's like, oh, I did the art for this. He'll buy that toy. And
wait. Hasbro doesn't supply him with that?
No.
Some of them, some. Like, I did a lot of Masterpiece. They never sent me one Masterpiece that I did.
Aww. Which Masterpieces did you work on?
I did mostly all the U.S. release when they had the package art. I did Optimus. Actually, I did the first one.
MP01?
The U.S., I did the Matrix drum. No, not the Matrix. I didn't do the drum. I did the insert, the internal part that was the trailer. Oh.
Yeah,
I did that. Yeah, I did that. That package.
That was outstanding.
I did the colors for the Matrix, and then I did for Masterpiece. I did MP. It was the Optimus again. The release in 2010. It was MP. MP10. Yeah, I did MP10. I did Grimlock, Thundercracker. No, it was Thundercracker or Skywarp. I can't remember. I think it was Thundercracker. I did Thundercracker, Rodimus, Rothog, and Grimlock with the crown. The last one was... And then I did the Masterpiece, the Soundwave, that platinum version, the translucent.
Oh, the Year of the Goat.
Yeah.
I did only
the pencil artwork for that one. I did the colors, but for the other ones, I did the colors.
Nice.
Yeah.
I have to admit that the package art for Year of the Goat Soundwave is what sold me on it. I know a lot of people hate it because it's translucent and gold, but I think the thing is beautiful and it's
a really good package art. The drawer is really, really good, but I think they did a new package. I think they did a new drawing with the G1 colors. I think for some, I don't know, it was some. I saw that illustration. I don't know if for the game or for some Combiner Wars stuff. I think I saw. Yeah.
I wasn't aware that you had done the artwork for the Masterpiece Grimlock though. That there is one of the centerpieces of my collection. I picked that up back in 2010.
Yeah.
I got it autographed by Greg Berger there at the first Psychicon.
Ah, nice.
Actually, I don't know if you can see it from here. That's like the centerpiece right there on top of my entertainment center.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's fine. Yeah. I like this package because I don't know if you figure out that, but the Armada Energon, the packs are really small because they usually do those drawings really big. Mm-hmm. They put really small. I remember, I don't know if it was Aaron Archer or Eric, they say, oh, Marcelo, sorry about that because the artwork is really teeny because Rick has the original for the Shockwave. He said he can say how big that is. So I usually like to do the big drawings.
Yeah, it's
And I think we lost him.
Standard comic, where are those? 17 by...
11. I think 11 by 7.
Yeah, 17 by 11.
Okay.
I wish please tell me this is what Titan Returns Weird Wolf looks like.
Only took you an hour, Don. We're not saying there's a Titan Return werewolf. We're just saying that there's someone on the show who happens to like that character. And I said, hey, you should have drawn at least a character on the show.
Well, let's just say that he's done in the Titan or in the Combiner Wars / Titans Returns motif. And I'm digging it.
I'm still holding out hope for a proper horrible.
Well, you know,
not a central character. Never mind him.
Well, at this point, I think any expectations of us saying, oh, they'll never make X, other than Headmaster RC, I think is out the window because they are making characters. I mean, we're getting a Lyokaiser set.
We're getting Scourge.
Yeah, in the U.S., we're getting new headmasters. I don't think there's anything that we can just write off as not being, possible.
A U.S. release of Deathsaurus.
Yeah, I hope so.
Piece Armada Laserbeak.
Well, actually, that's not a bad idea to run because you could probably repurpose that into say like a new version of say Transmetal 2 Megatron.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's the repaint potential is huge there. I mean, Transmetal Megatron, Cryotech, all kinds of different repaints you could do. But it's just one of those characters that
I wouldn't mind seeing an update to like Landcross. I think that'd be something neat to see.
So Marcelo, your drawing here is coming along. Mm-hmm. You want to talk to us a little bit about your process of how you go about creating a piece of art like this?
Yeah, sure. Like for the package art, mostly depends on. I usually always start on the computer, like you can see here. Like I usually do the Hasbro for example, for package art. Hasbro usually provide me some toys reference, like for the models. If you repaint, they usually send some of those products. They never send me the actual toys for to the package. They only when I request them. But for the first. For the first package, they usually send some toys reference, those grayscale models. And then I usually do like, let's say here, I usually do three or four poses like this. I usually do some poses like this, or that, depending on the character, like he's flying or is stomping on the ground. Like the combiners, I try to do for the combiners, I try to do them really look like they are heavy. So I usually do those kind of like three options for Hasbro. I put out more details. And then once they pick it one, I try to develop the sketch. So I get this one and for the computer, I try to, for example, here, I try to add more details and, like the torso, the arms, that I try to figure out better the pose here, like a weapon.
Cyclonus.
Yeah, it's going to be Cyclonus, yeah.
Oh, no, that's obviously in his armada.
Yeah, in his armada.
And then, like, nowadays, I know there have some fans that like to get the original artwork, so once I do this one big, and then I start to add more details on the computer. And then I print this, and I do a pencil. I have a light box, and then I clean up the drawing, and I do a pencil artwork, like depending on the size. For the Armada and Energon, I did the package, I do the inks. The actual inks, and then I scan and then color in the computer. And for Transformers Animated, I do have the process on the computer. So I do the lines here on the Photoshop. And then I start to add the details. I'm not sure if I have some here. I probably don't have. Let me see if I have some that I can show you. Okay, I think I have this. Let me see. Oh,
very nice.
Yeah, this is the one that I usually do for this level. I usually send for Hasbro for approval. So this one, it was the platinum one.
And I was saying, I recognize that from the platinum.
Yeah.
So you basically you map out a couple poses.
Yeah.
You send them a couple poses. They pick one. Then you send something like what you're showing us now, saying this is going to be the overall pose and kind of the color scheme of it.
Yeah, exactly.
And then once you get that signed off on, you go to the next stage.
Yeah, then, for example, the next stage after that, it would be the ink. So I have one ink here that I can show. Like, for example, this Verticals. It was Ooh. Another one. So this was done digitally. You can see here some parts.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, there is a lot of layers that I can. I usually had to change some parts like this one.
Grimlock, yeah.
Yeah, they actually Hasbro asked me to change the body for this one. Yeah. That was the first version. They asked me to. Okay, Marcelo, you need to show more. The silhouette, I don't know if you can figure out, but the silhouette was not good. Like, there's the. You can figure out where are the arms on the upper torso, so they asked me to play a little bit more, like, for example, here's the pose that I, you know, like, I get the basic one, and I play a little bit more, and then this is the final one adjusted that I can, here you go. And then after this, I add the colors. This is the ink, the digital ink, so... This one was not original. This is only the digital version.
And then, I think that's the best the Fall of Cybertron Bruticus ever looked.
Yeah. That's actually a really good toy. What are you talking about?
I'm sorry. It's just sort of. I'm kind of a Bruticus fanboy, and the toys just kind of let me down. But I love the artwork.
It's almost more proportional than the toy.
Well, you got to understand, though, at the time that it came out, it had been the best combiner that we had had
since. That's true.
I mean, everything can be improved upon, and it's like Combiner Wars now. It's fantastic, but I'm sure it can go even farther than that. You know, I mean,
we probably wouldn't have Combiner Wars out of the gate as strong as it was, as strong as it is, if we hadn't had the Fall of Cybertron. Said, look. Okay, we're taking, you know, they're getting back into combiners and stages.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think that's probably a major a necessary stepping stone to get to what we have now. I'm just saying, I just love that artwork.
Now, Marcelo, who's your favorite combiner, since it's relevant?
I like Devastator. I really like Devastator.
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
Did you do the art for Combiner Wars Devastator?
Yes, I did. I did that. Yeah, I did for the San Diego version.
Justice San Diego version, or
no? I did both. I did both. Oh, okay. Actually, I did the both. I did first for the San Diego, then I did for the actual package. Actually, it was funny because I was almost selling that original art for one guy, and then. When I saw the Japanese box art, I said, "Oh no! I'm gonna keep this one for me." I don't have many artwork that was released in Japan and US. So the ones that when I have some, I like to keep the original for these ones.
Now, have you ever looked at like the original Generation 1 box art, which I've still got from my original collection a photo album that's got all the tech specs, robot points, and box art from the original boxes. And I was always a huge fan of that. Have you ever drawn inspiration from some of those? I mean, have you ever maybe looked at it and maybe drawn it in a more modern style, but in the same pose? Or?
Yeah. I don't know if I mentioned, but when I start working with Hasbro, I was invited to do some of those profile books, you know, for Dreamwave, the More Than Meets the Eyes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So when I had to do those, I usually look at those. Do you mean the art style or the pose? Like, what do you mean? Like,
just, take some cues from the art style and maybe even the pose as well.
Sometimes for the art style, I try to figure out how they did some lights or for some effects. Since the Hasbro, For some presentation, I had to emulate some of those drums for internal presentation, so I had to use. But for the package, I usually try to figure out, like, for some highlights, how they use, and try to do something similar, but not like because there was one thing that Hasbro usually said, they need to do the package. That's one thing cool that I learned working with packages through the years. The package they had to look new for the kids. They can't look old. So we had always moved forward with the style and with the, so I, we had to take care of what, if you're going to try to emulate the old package, unless it's for something specific, like, oh, it's for a collector stuff or for a,
well, like a reissue or something.
Yeah,
like.
A reissue. They usually ask for us to not avoid, to avoid to use a lot of the one reference, unless like for a cover or something like that, the really specific illustration that they want. But like for sometimes for the main lines, they don't.
Now, is there any of the original box art that really stands out to you that you're a big fan of? Any particular characters? Like for me, I mean, I love the Weird Wolf. Battle Trap was a good one I liked. There are several ones, but
I like the big, like that big one that goes in the back, the with the day fighting,
the big battle scenes.
All the big battle scenes I got amazing because it was done in the 80s, 70s, so it's all analogic. It's not digital, the stuff. So I do love to see the original for that kind of paintings and figure out how they do those brushes and so. Those big ones, I do like to see those better. I like the Star Saber because I have the Star Saber. I really like the Star Saber package art. I don't like that much the proportions for the robots. Like sometimes they had the really big heads and big hands. Like, the color style I really like it. I think it's really cool. But some proportions, I like more the cartoon look instead of the toys.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, I mentioned Battle Trap earlier, the Duocon. His package art made him look so believable as a robot. I mean, basically you just take a pickup truck and split it in half and that's his feet.
Actually the packages are sometimes are much better than the toys. Like you can figure out better the characters
But I mean, okay, I'm sorry. Now, what do you use for reference? Do you draw from memory or do you use physical things sometimes for reference?
I have several books here. I have all the Japanese books. I have those Almanac Hall Sparks I have here. I remember there was a time I bought almost all the Japanese drawings for the one that I could find, the Studio Ox. Sometimes I have two or three books for each one because I bring them to the conventions and to use as reference. So I bought like two or three books because I use them a lot to flip and see reference. But I like this small, let's see here. This one is, I think, are cool. This one is this little books.
Oh yeah,
I use a lot with some profiles on the cartoon. There are some stills for the episodes. I usually like to figure out some poses. Like when I stuck in the drawing, that I like to flip those books and this one, one of my favorite pieces that I did. I remember if you guys remember this, the universe poster.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, I did that poster.
Definitely.
Yeah. I totally forgot about that. Yeah.
I did
the package for those toys as well at that time.
What was your first thoughts when you saw like the purple silver bolt and other some of the color schemes that they had done for that? You thought you would draw this with these colors?
Yeah, honestly, at that time, I was not so familiar with some of those cards because we didn't have Beast Wars a lot here. Like, I was not following Beast Wars that much. I actually started following Beast Wars after I got Digi-1 DVDs, and then because it was a mess here in Brazil. We don't have them in order, and it was in the 90s when cable TV, so we didn't have them. So I couldn't follow properly. And then I didn't remember the Silver Bolt toy at that time. And then when I got the original, I said, it was okay. But, like, you can go wrong with purple and black, you know? Like, this is Decepticon color, so, yeah. You know? Like, that's my personal taste. I don't know. Like, I'm, like, this primal colors, for example. That's okay.
Rodimus Primal.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Marcelo, I'm kind of curious. We've been watching you draw tonight. I'm sure there are some artists out there who check out the show. What programs do you tend to use?
Okay. For usually mostly Photoshop to do this sketch that I can easily to edit or do any kind of change are needed, like fast. For example, I need to change proportions here that I can select some parts and change size. And so I prefer to use Photoshop. When I do the final lines that need to be printed, I like to move it to another program. It's called Painter, yeah, or Manga Studio. Then I usually do that for the lines, and then I come back to Photoshop to do the colors. So basically Photoshop, and for animated, the package art was done on vector image, so they need to blow to change size without lose the quality. So I usually use Illustrator to do that. I did the package for the, also with the Illustrator for the Press School, what's the name? I lost the name.
The Play School Robots?
Yeah, the
Robot Heroes. Or not Robot Heroes, Rescue Heroes.
Rescue Bots. Yeah, Rescue Bots. I did some of them in Illustrator. I did the first stages here, the sketch, and I usually do the sketch in Photoshop, and then I move it to another program to finish, depending on the kind of the style. If a simple style with not a lot of painting details, then usually Illustrator. If they need a lot of details, I usually do on the Photoshop. Then I can do some shadows and play a little bit more. I usually do mostly for quick jobs. I usually do Photoshop. Like for presentations that I have to do really fast, I usually use Photoshop. Like, Marcelo, we have a meeting to show this new product and we need to draw this robot firing those missiles and like something like that. All the drawings that I did for when I was working with Rick, we did some screens for the games, and I did entirely in Photoshop, all digital. Yeah.
Yeah, so what Marcel was talking about, we did this pitch for a video game that never came to be for Transformers, but Marcelo was able to like create a screen. Like if you're looking at your PlayStation, you'd see like a select menu, you'd see like the stats at the top, you know, your life, you know, your points and whatever. So, as I said earlier, he's very diverse in what he's able to do.
Yeah, I like to had to do, when I started work with drawing and illustration, I had to do several kind of, as an illustrator, I had to do like a lot of different styles. So it's funny because when you do comic book art, you are known because you are a style, but then you are an illustrator. You have to emulate another other kind of styles to get the job, you know. So like, I think sometimes I'm more illustrator than a comic book artist. So I think that's why I develop more this kind of try to emulate new styles. And And I love to draw something different. Like, it's good because, like, I can draw, for example, stuff for kids. Like, now I have kids, I like to draw stuff for them. So I can do, like, Transformers for them, like, with kids' look. And it's good to switch and style and play a little.
What is it like for you when you travel to another country, you go into a store, and then you see a toy there that you did the packaging art for? What's that experience like for you?
It was crazy because, like, I always wanted to do comic book since I started drawing. I want to do comic book arts. I want to do my stuff printed. But I started to do my thing printed on the toys first for the packaging. It was funny because, like, I started to figure out that my packages were sometimes in the U.S., in Europe, in Japan. And when I found that in Brazil, I said, okay, that's really cool. Like, my artwork is around the world. So it's a really cool feeling. And I like when the kids stop and start looking at the toys, and sometimes they look at the drawing and, oh, that's cool, that is. Sometimes I try to when I go to the stores here in Brazil, I like to do in the Transform sale and figure out what the parents do with the kids. And sometimes I did a package for you. If you want, I can do a sketch for you. Then I do for the kids sometimes. Like, I love to see, like, it's really, it's good now because I can show to my kids, like, oh, that's what your dad do, because they don't know what I do. They can figure out, like, oh, you draw the, my son once told me, oh, daddy, you don't work, you only draw the entire day, so what do you do to work? we went to the toy store, then, okay, kid, okay, son, this is what your dad do. That's why my work. I do things for these toys. That, oh, that's cool, daddy. Nice, nice.
They recognize it and they're like, hey, I remember when you drew this.
Yeah, yeah, sometimes they do that. Oh, I remember Optimus Prime, daddy. I remember you did that. I think it was for Rescue Bots, yeah. I did. It was not Optimus. It was the latest one. It was the ship, the newest one, I think it was. It was on the Presco Heroes.
Who's the big boat?
Yeah, the big boat. I can't remember the name.
High Tide.
Yeah.
High Tide. Right. Yeah.
I did a package for that. It was a great experience. Like, I think it was. I had my pleasure to see the toys, actually. It's funny when I see, like, for example, one of my favorite toy lines that I worked was Robot Heroes, because I can see on the toys my style, three-dimensional, 3D, you know what I mean? Like, I can see my style in the sculpt of the toy, so that one was my favorite line so far, because, like, the face of the robots are the face that I did in my sketch, so that's one of my favorite time that I.
Yeah, it's a shame that line didn't go all the way. There was a couple figures that never came out, unfortunately.
Yeah, a lot of cool figures actually.
Like, yeah, and now it's kind of come back full circle with the new little figures at.
I can't remember. It's not Titans. Not what's the name is. It's tiny. I can't remember.
The Hero Smashers, the tiny little guys. They're like the PVC. They're like the decoys, but they're in color. They come in blind packs.
Oh yeah, blind pack. Oh, but are they smaller than the?
Yeah, yeah, they're smaller. Anyone got the name out there? Come on, guys.
I don't mess with blind packs for the most part. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank myself.
You guys are dead to me.
Of course, I've got 15 things you want on it once you're two.
Yeah, that last blind pack thing I did was crayons. Marcelo, you did Combined Wars Bruticus, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Is when you held up the magazine there, showing off, you know, Universe with the, you know, the Optimus Primal and all that. I saw, you know, the X Brawn repaint and the Prowl repaint as Ratchet and Prowl, Red Alert, and it got me thinking, how neat would it be to see the Combiner Wars Bruticus in Ruination colors, you know, from Robots in Disguise.
Yeah, I think that would be really cool.
I think you can take any of those Combiner War figures and deco them however you want, and they're going to look awesome.
Yeah, especially for some exclusives. I don't know how the exclusives work, but I think they totally can use it that for.
This would definitely be a good year to do that. I mean, since it's a decent current mold, and also this year being the 15th anniversary of RID, you know, it'd be perfect.
So. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if they're gonna do something for the 10th anniversary. I don't know how.
That'd be nice.
I haven't seen anything so far. Like, is there anything they planning? Like,
well, you gotta remember that that line's kind of stuck in legal hell right now because it was part Saban, and then it was Saban was bought by Disney.
Oh, really?
So
for the cartoon.
Yeah, so it's you know, that's why you haven't really seen that released on DVD. Well, Hasbro owns they own the likeness of the characters. They don't own the show. Disney owns the show now.
Right.
Okay.
So then, you know, neither one can kind of do anything without the other at this point. And unfortunately, I don't think there's anyone there at the big age that's kind of pushing people to, hey, RID, let's finally get it out on DVD.
Yeah,
maybe somebody should bring it up at BotCon in one of the panels.
Oh, well, yeah, they could do that.
And remember that it's also would be a problem because it's gonna create confusion in the marketplace. So you'd have to call it something else. Like, you know, Transformers 2000 or Transformers Car Robots. Or...
I was starting to say Car Robots, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, I got lucky enough to get the Region 2 box set that Chris McFeely did the some of the commentary on, because I've got a Region 3 player. But, yeah, it really needs to come out on a, you know, a Shout Factory set so everybody can get a hold of it.
As much money as the Big H has gotten, you know, through the, you know, the different Michael Bay films and all this, you would think that they would have enough to be able to attempt to purchase those rights from Disney. I mean,
look at it from their point of view.
Saban was able to purchase Power Rangers back from Disney.
You know, what does it get them, really? Is it really worth the money to pay for the legal services to get something that you're going to give to a licensee to release on DVD?
Well, they'd be able to help keep the franchise intact. I mean,
again, it's about moving forward and not moving backward. I'm just playing devil's advocate. These are just the things that, having worked there, that I would hear all the time.
Yeah.
Well, I think stop living in the past.
Yeah. Well, it's just – I think it's just a matter of it's part of the history of the franchise.
Right.
And that we've gotten a lot more obscure stuff, and we've gotten stuff that's been arguably better, arguably worse. So it's just a big – it's kind of like basically, you know, for the longest time, an RC figure. You know, I'm going to draw this parallel. It's something that is – part of the franchise, but we still don't have it for some reason. So, you know, it'd be nice to have it so everybody can have it, and just that little slot on your DVD shelf, boop, and you've got it. You can pull it out, you can enjoy it, you can watch the fish test as much as you want to, or whatever.
The seeds of the future lie buried in the past.
Please don't mention Beast Machines. We're having such fun tonight.
I know.
But Beast Machines is awesome.
Right. Awesomely bad, yes.
You know what? Say what you will about Beast Machines, but it still beats that whole Unicron trilogy, so. I'm definitely on Team Beast Machines, man.
I'll be honest, I enjoyed Cybertron more than Beast Machines.
I enjoyed the Unicron Trilogy's toys and everything, but the cartoon, I couldn't get my. I'll be honest, I didn't finish it. I couldn't. The Armada, Energon, I've watched maybe a season of it, and I'm like, I'm done with the show. You know, It's like toys only.
Well, Energon was hard to watch anyway. It was just not good. I enjoyed the Dreamwave take on Armada and Energon much more than the cartoons.
Yeah.
That is so beautiful.
Well, all these different series, you know, like Robots in the Skies and, you know, Cybertron and all these others, you know, ultimately I think, you know, whether they want to move forward or want to look in the past, overall, you know, the brand is constantly changing, and there is always going to be some group where at some point in their life, that was their G1. You know, for them, that's what brought them into the franchise. That was their first introduction to it. So, you know, I think that would be one of the biggest reasons, because, you know, after 15 years, you know, kids that were 5 then, they're 20 now. They might be getting ready to start having kids, you know. You know, eight-year-olds, you know, they're you know, almost 25. So.
Well, that's kind of like the theory behind Brave from Japan. You know, you had these seven robot shows over the course of these years, and they didn't tie into each other. Every year was some kid's first giant robot show.
Right.
And so basically, you see, that same you're talking about, every Transformer iteration is someone's G1. Mm-hmm. Which makes me kind of sad when someone says, you know, I started with Armada when they were, you know, 10, whatever many years ago. And it's, I'm thinking, wow, that's what you started with. I'm so sorry.
Well, not everyone can be as advanced in age as you and I, Don. But it's good to know that the brand lives on.
Yes, definitely.
Still kids discovering it. I would love to see the show on DVD. My daughter is a big fan of Thundercats, and all she wants is a Chitara costume for her birthday because she watches Thundercats on DVD in the car. So
the old one, the classic, or the new one?
Yeah, the classic Thundercats, the good one.
The good one, yeah.
Hey, the 2011 show was good, too. It had its own decent perks.
Yeah, I like that one off.
Now, Marcelo, outside of Transformers, what else are you a big fan of?
All kind of old shows I like. Like, I like Thundercats. I follow Thundercats. I follow G.I. Joe. I've been watching again Mask. Mask, I like it. I like a lot of some Japanese animations, like the Gunland, I think. I don't know how to spell it in English, but it's I like to watch some robots animation to get inspired, but I usually follow mostly of the new animations that are coming, like Legend of Korra, the Avatar continuation. I really enjoy that. Like, the animation is really cool. Like, sometimes I like to get inspiration from those drawings to the poses for Transformers, or to bring to the comics, or for some presentation. Star Wars, like, I usually like to get the reference not only from Transformers, but I like to apply things for different sources, like a lot of different cartoons. I like mostly the 80s cartoon that I grew up. I love to watch again, like.
Yeah, it's, you know, I mean, whenever I look at my DVD shelf and everything, I'm like, I've got Thundercats, Silverhawks, Transformers. Yeah, I mean, I'm like, I there's no explanation that I can give that covers why the entire gamut of why I love this stuff. And, you know, it's it's just me, you know. I mean, I enjoy it.
Yeah, like, and I like to get the toys, like for Master of the Universe. I used to follow, and then I got a bunch of toys nowadays. Like Marvel Legends, I start to recollect it, the Marvel Legends, because the movies. Then I like I get all the lines for Hasbro. So, it's funny. I usually did the work for the Marvel Legends. I did the Hulkbuster concept for the toy.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I've got to, because when.
Yeah, that one. Yeah.
Because I have the earlier Toy Biz version, but it's not it's not anywhere close to the movie accuracy. Mm-hmm. So I actually bought all the figures and then sold the figures and kept the parts. I just wanted the Hulkbuster because I just love that design.
Here you go. Can you see? I don't know.
Oh, that werewolf looks great.
It is beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
The eyes.
I don't know.
It's almost like you've got that exact moment when he just like when Monzo combined with Weird Wolf at that moment when his like the connection's made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I find it breathtaking. I just.
I think
Weird Wolf after so many years.
I think Duran just found his phone's wallpaper there.
Yeah, I will send it to you guys.
Marcelo, if you're coming to BotCon, I'll be there. I live 30 minutes away from where BotCon's going to be this year. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, if you want to bring it to BotCon, just.
Sure.
Marcelo is a big fan of tequila.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure there'll be some after hours partying that are going on.
Sure thing. Sure.
I will not be there.
We need to relax. We probably work a lot there, so we need to relax a little bit.
What's the old saying? One tequila, two tequila, three tequila, four.
Yeah.
Or in my case, last year year before last at TF Con. We had some Japanese plum wine, and I had like two shots and I ate a plum and I don't remember anything after that. I was like face down in bed.
Nice.
From what I understand, I sat there catatonic for like 15 minutes and then just got up and went to the bed and fell.
Yeah, for me, after this 30 or 40 shot, my English got perfect. Like, I can speak everything. Like, I don't know. All of a sudden, I start to speak perfectly.
Or other people, when they drink a lot, everything becomes a lot clearer, I guess, too. So.
I found one thing to show you guys. I think it's cool.
I want to hang this on my wall.
I'm sure you will.
There we go. This is the concept for the
hello. Oh, that's good. And so, I love the fact that it's detailed, but it's not so hyper detailed you can't enjoy the suit for all the, you know, but it looks like it's you know, a high tech suit of armor, but it doesn't have like pouches and hip and the bandoliers and all that kind of stuff on it like so many people over tech detail stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a really headphone work. Yeah.
Oh, I would love to have that on the wall.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then I did this another one here for a presentation. Yeah. Here it goes. Let's see. I think those one I can show this. I don't think it's a problem. Let's see. Because sometimes I can show some stuff here. I can find. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure trying to keep track of all the legal stuff across everything you've done is like difficult to remember.
Yeah. I had a big issue with Transformers 4 movie, so I had to take care of all that. I said something that someone translated from Portuguese to English, and then I almost got trouble with Hasbro because of that. So I don't speak more and more about movies, or I try to avoid even for some toys. We're not allowed to show defenses. Wow. Yeah, that's I did for the presentation.
Oh, definitely.
That is beautiful.
Yeah, what you showed before, that reminds me of the old Marvel Universe.
Yeah,
the three silhouette designs they did for the updated version.
Yeah, that's I did for a presentation, and then actually they asked me this one first, the black and white,
mm-hmm.
and then I moved it to this color. Yeah, it's fun. Like, I love to do to draw those stuff. I'm gonna finish our sketch and then. Do we have time for one more quick sketch, or think about it?
Let's see here. Well, we've gone an hour and 45, so depends on how long you want to go, or if you want to sketch something, we can post it in the public group.
Yeah,
absolutely. Is there anything, before we wrap up, Marcelo, is there anything you want to plug? Like, do you have a print store or anything where people can get a sketchbook from you, or maybe some work from you?
Yeah. Well, people can find me on my Facebook page, like where I post most of my latest work. So I start there when I'm selling my sketchbooks that I put some of the drawings that I did for the package and for fun. Sometimes I have.
I'm actually sharing a link to your Facebook page in the.
This is the sketchbook. It's a sketchbook that I did last year. It's like an organic. So I have some package art. This is the one that I did for the Bible for Combiner Wars. It's an Optimus.
Nice.
This
package
art.
Yeah.
We bring this one at BotCon. I have a limited number of copies, so I'm selling those there.
About how much are you going to be selling those for?
Probably 20. Okay. Each one. Yeah. It's mostly black and white, so I try to show more the inks. This is the Transformers Club inks for the comic book. I don't know. Sometimes I like to draw human stuff, like Motu.
Groot.
Roboto.
Yeah. Some different stuff.
Wow.
A Minion Optimus Prime. My girlfriend would absolutely not.
Yeah. Oh, this one. I did for the... it's a DVD box set. I did the package.
Cybertron.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I have that box set, yeah.
Yeah, I did this. It was this and this one. So Optimus and Megatron.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, the package for the Marvel that I did, that I said.
Uh-huh. Oh,
Venom, yeah.
Venom, Ghost Rider. This one, a coolest toy that I helped to design.
Oh,
that, Ghost Rider. And that Ghost Rider crossover figure was almost impossible to find in the United
exactly.
States.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't know what happened.
So hard to find. I wound up finding two at the same store, and that's the only two I've ever seen in stores.
Wow. Really? Cool. This one.
Those are the only two they ever released in the United States, and Don got both of them.
I haven't even opened up one yet. I'm afraid to open one. It's like they're so hard to find. I don't want to open them both. You know, have one for Ghost Rider and one for Bike Mode.
Ah,
yeah.
The whole Junkion thing where he can ride himself.
Yeah.
I have a lot of stuff here, like Spider Gwen, and I like to play a little bit.
Oh, I'm sure them. She's a very popular character right now. I'm sure that'll be a popular image from your book to get signed or something.
Yeah. Or a man. It's a kid's book that I did for Marvel. It's for the first movie. And yeah, that's it. In my store, you can find this stuff. I'm not selling prints online because, for some reason, ship international. It's really hard from Brazil lately. So I try to avoid. You know, I had some issues, like sometimes delays a lot, and then. So I probably will bring all of those stuff for BotCon, like some prints and comic books and original. I will bring most of my original artwork for.
Oh, I definitely want to. I definitely want to take a look at some of that myself.
Yeah, sure. It's going to be a lot of cool stuff there.
Yes.
Some of the legends, some of the package for. I will bring in even package for Cybertron. Try to bring some old stuff that I like to share.
Out of the prints that you have, do you have a bunch of prints for some of the Creo stuff that you've done?
No, but if people want, I can try to work on someone like for the Creo, like.
Slowly raises.
I can definitely try to. I have some stuff. I can try to do that.
Okay.
It's not a problem. Or I can do some commissions for Creo. It's close.
Hey, Jim. Now, were you going to BotCon? I don't think you were, right? Or were you?
I am trying. I'm going to go regardless of what happens. But what I'm trying to do. Is I don't know if you saw my post yesterday. I'm trying to sell some extra stuff to scrape together funds because of the recent revelation that now Judd Nelson, Generation 1 Rodimus Prime from the movie, will be attending. However, he will be a higher tier package similar to how Frank Welker was last year.
Yeah.
Only available on top of the Primus package. The golden ticket and all that. It's an extra thing. It's $129 on top of the $4.99 or for members $3.99.
Yeah. So that, you know, that's I'm not I would like to add the package, but I think I would just rather
I'll look at him across the room and wave hi. Yeah.
You know, but that would definitely be something I would like to do. It's just financially, I have other plans for that same amount of money.
Well, it's like – go ahead.
Yeah, you go. Oh, I'll go. But, no, that's what's driving me up the wall, though, is, you know, I'm trying to scrape together money to get the G2 Combiner Wars box sets, you know, I like from Captured Prey. Uh-huh. You know, you got Superion, you got Menasar. Here soon, I imagine here in a couple months or so, we're probably going to end up with Victorion and Bruticus.
Just to let you know, there are pre-orders out there from overseas sellers for Victorion showing a May release.
Nice. Mm. Okay. I figured it couldn't be too far off. But at the same time, you know, I also want to get this Judd Nelson thing because I have a VHS of the Transformers, the movie that I've had several autographs. I've got, you know, the late Buster Jones, who was Blaster, Frank Welker, Megatron, Greg Berger.
Admit it. You also have a copy of the Breakfast Club and you want that autographed as well.
I'm actually tempted to, I don't have a copy yet, but I'm tempted to rummage around in some of the local Goodwills here in Indy and see if I can find a VHS copy of it, just for kicks and grins. But, I don't know, not me, and how cheap I am, I'll probably just bring him a breakfast burrito. Like,
yeah. Well, guys,
initiation into the Breakfast Club.
I do believe we have ran the course of this episode, but I'm sure we'll chat a little bit more after the show is off the air. Marcelo, I would like to thank you so much for being on today. Is there anything else you'd like to tell the fans and listeners?
Well, I'd like to thank you guys for having me for the show for this time. Thank you, Rick, for the invitation. Thank you. Like, I've been watching your show. It's really cool. Like, especially for the fans, like, it's good when we find out something, discuss things that we like and we appreciate. Like, thank you very much for the invitation. I'd like to thank the fans for the support for all those years, especially. And all, they know who I am, because when you do things for the packages, people usually don't know who the artist is. So I'd like to thank all the fans.
That's one thing too. You know, I mean, especially with package art. You know, you can see a cool piece of art, but you know, with packaging, they remove any indication that you did it. So you can actually be a huge fan of your artwork and not even really know that you're the one that did it. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, but like it's part of the job, like we know how things work. But nowadays, like with internet and then social media, people know who we are, and then we can share all my stuff, and then we can talk with the fans. Like people can find me on the Twitter. It's Marcelo Materi. You can see on the description, probably in the video. Like you can find me on the Twitter, Instagram. Post a lot of things on the Instagram and the Facebook, and like you can find all my stuff there. I can sometimes interact with the fans, like so. I'd like to thank you guys again, and hope to see you at BotCon.
My Portuguese is a little rusty. Muito obrigado por estar em nosso show essa noite.
Eu que agradeço. Muito obrigado. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Headmaster Don, Rick Alvarez, Jim Black, I am Daron Land, along with Marcelo Materi. Thank you for joining us for Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, episode number 191. Check us out on iTunes and Double Twist and other platforms. Rate, like, and subscribe to us. That's a great way to let us know that you you love listening to us. Check out us our show next week, same time, same channel. We'll see you next time on Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Ciao.
Bye, guys. Ciao.
Good bye-bye. Us.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.